Because the dish is off for, that's how long the grandma would have us. And one summer, it worked out well. There's a junior college there in Farmington where my grandma was able to enroll me into a computer camp. She thought it'd be fun for me just to go there and hang out there. And you know, that was quite a few years ago, so computers weren't real high-tech then. But it was kind of fun because they taught us how to program. It was just simple programming stuff. And I can remember typing in all of these different code, and I mean just pages of code, and then you had to follow line by line. And then you would hit run, and a rocket would ignite and go off and fly off the screen. And I mean, I did that. I programmed to do that. I followed the program, but I put the program in. And you know, if you were off just by a letter or something, part of your ship wouldn't be there, or you wouldn't get the flame, or it would fly the wrong direction, or just sit there. So you really had to go through it, just line by line, and make sure. So that was for a whole week. We launched rockets in computer class. That's what we did. But it was a pretty cool experience. But it was all based on that code. It was all based on that program you put. And as long as you typed in the correct program, the computer would follow the program to the T, to the letter even, and everything would work smoothly. But if it didn't have the right program, it didn't work smoothly. I was thinking about that this week as I was looking at Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, we see the program that God has established for the launch of the early church, or the launch of the church, not just the early church, but for the church, we see the launch. And it's amazing as we look at this, we see the program and see how the program is laid out, but we're also reminded of the program designer and how the program designer put it all into place and how well it works when we follow the program. And I'm grateful to be here in Medina knowing that the program was followed, otherwise I wouldn't be here. But it's up to us now to continue the program. The book of Acts is the only book, or not the only book, but the book of Acts doesn't have a conclusion. The book of Acts is going along and then just stops. That's because we're continuing on. We're continuing this program that has been laid out for us. And so let's look at Acts chapter 1, and let's read verses 6 through 8 there first. It says, so when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So what is the question that these disciples or these apostles ask Jesus when they all come together? Okay. Will you set up the kingdom? When will the kingdom be restored? That's what they are looking for. Now, why would they be asking this question? Okay. They've been waiting for it. It's been promised back in the Old Testament. They've been waiting for it. How many of you guys have had two-year-old kids? When they find out Christmas is coming, what's their question every morning? Is it here yet? Is today? Is today the day? I remember my parents put together a cloth thing with numbers on it. They would take candy to it. And then on the 25th, there would be a little gift there. And so it's like an Advent calendar. So we bought it with S.H. Green Sands. And Amanda doesn't know what that is. So that would help me know how many days were there until Christmas, because I had 5 weeks of candy. All right? And so that would help me know. So here they are, and Jesus is here. They've seen the crucifixion, and you know, when we saw the crucifixion happen, they were anticipating the kingdom. Remember the ones who were on the road to Emmaus? And they said, hey, we were really hoping for the kingdom to come, but he was crucified, now we don't know. They didn't understand the program. They didn't understand the program. So now the crucifixion has happened. They mourn his death, But now he's alive. He's been walking around with them for 40 days. When is this going to happen? It's got to be close because we only have one piece of candy left. It's got to be close. We're ready for it. And they were ready for that portion of God's plan to unfold. But what is Jesus' response?
After you know.
It's not for you to know the time. It's not up for you to know the time. What does that mean? Be patient, okay? Be patient. What was that, Steve?
Only God knows.
Only God knows. This is in God's timing. God knows, and he's the one who needs to know. And it's really not up to the apostles to worry about dates. How often do we see people today concerned about dates? All I have to do is type on Facebook, October 1st, Jesus is going to return. And there are going to be people who are taking that and sharing it, even people who don't know who I am. Some people will look and say, well, he's a pastor, so it must be true. And they'll share it. October 1st. They don't realize that October 1st is the first day of archery season. That's why I think that. That's what I'm doing. So, but people would be sharing that. Hey, that's what it's all about. That's what we're looking for. Because everybody wants a date. But Jesus says, hey, you know what? It's not up to you to know the date. Why not? What are they to worry about instead? What's that?
Be worried about sharing the news.
Okay, they should be worried about sharing the news. They should worry about sharing the gospel and taking the gospel out. Now, look over to Acts chapter 1, verse 4 there. Acts 1, verse 4. Acts 1, verse 4. Someone read that for us nice and loud, would you?
And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father.
Okay. So they're worried about the timing of when this is going to unfold. Jesus has given them an instruction. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise that is going to come. Now, we talked about this last time when we were together. This promise is what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And so they were to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus tells them it's not for you to know the time yet. Look what he shares in verse 8. Verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So God himself is determined when this is going to happen. He's the one who determines it, right? Okay? The next thing says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. So what are they to wait for? And they're to wait for the Holy Spirit. But what's going to be the result when the Holy Spirit comes? They will have power. They will have power. Okay? They will have power. That is the reason that they are waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now, instead of worrying about the timing of when the kingdom is going to come, what is their assignment to be once the Holy Spirit comes? They're to be witnesses. They're to be witnesses. What is a witness? I mean, what is the definition of a witness?
They're actually there when it occurred.
Okay. Okay. A witness is someone who saw an event. Okay. They experienced an event. Okay. And so that's what they are to do, is to go out and share the event that they saw. When you get called into court and you're to be a witness, you have to share with them what you saw. Okay? Because you witnessed it. Okay? And so that's what they are to do, is they're to go and to be witnesses. Now, what are they going to be sharing? What did they witness that they're going to be telling others about?
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. who Jesus is, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what they're going to be sharing, and that is for the forgiveness of sin. That's what they're witnesses of. That's what they observe. That's what they are witnesses of. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is Luke's sharing here in Acts, the Great Commission. This is known as one of the Great Commission verses. Let's turn over our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. This is Matthew's account of the Great Commission being given out. Matthew 28. Acts 28. And look at verse 19. Acts 28, verse 19. Or Matthew, thank you. Matthew. I even have it written here. Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, as we look at that, what do you see in here that would speak to you about being a witness or an eyewitness? Okay, they're to go and tell. But what do we see here describing them as witnesses? How do we know they were witnesses? What's that? They were disciples, okay. All right. Look at verse 28. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So they were there listening to Jesus. They were taking that all in, okay? Jesus has poured into their lives. They are to go and they are to give witness, they are to give testimony of what Jesus has taught them, what Jesus has shared about himself, about God, about the kingdom, about salvation, all of those teachings. That's what they are to take and to go and to proclaim. All right? And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We see that. That's the larger plan, right? Of what we see there in Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, he says, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world. But here he's saying, go into all the world. All the world. And all there in the Greek means all. Okay? All nations. And baptizing them in the name of the Father, making them disciples, making them followers of Christ. So that is their assignment. That's what they're to do. Now let's look at Mark's account. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15 says this. And he said to them, go into the whole world, go into all the world, and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So the instruction here again is go into all the world, proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. That's what they are to do. That is the Great Commission. That's what we see laid out for them. And we see that in Matthew, we see that Mark, Luke has an account, John has an account, and then here in Acts we have that as well. But that is the commission. That's what they are to do. That's the instruction. Okay? Any questions about that, the Great Commission, or that? Perfect. Okay? It's the beginning of the church. Yep. Exactly right. Now, let's go back to Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 8. And here in Acts 1, verse 8, we see this assignment or this program unfold. We see in Matthew and in Mark, the whole world, all the world. But here in Acts 1, verse 8, we see the specifics unfold. It says, You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, as we look at this and as we see this in Jerusalem, what is significant about Jerusalem? That's where it begins. That's where it begins. Where are they right now when they're receiving this instruction? Jerusalem. That's where they were to wait, right? In Jerusalem. So in Jerusalem, that's going to be the first place that they are to proclaim the gospel. Okay? Think about that. You receive this instruction, you're to go to all the world. Man, that's a huge thought, right? How do I go to all the world? That's unfathomable. How do we even do that? Can you imagine eating an elephant? How would you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One steak fried on the Blackstone at a time. Maybe I would dice it up in small pieces, do a little onion and a little garlic, a lot of potatoes. Okay? One steak at a time. But you could eat an elephant, couldn't you? You had freezer space. All right? You can do it. This is how they are going to go about taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Start in Jerusalem. Share the message in Jerusalem. So in their own community, where they live, where they're at right now. And then they were to go to Judea, which would be their own country, their own county, their own areas where they would be. That's where they were to go next. So evangelize in Jerusalem, and then move to Judea and share in Judea. And then they were to go to Samaria. We talked about the Samaritans last time, how they're half-breeds. Those are strangers. Those are foreigners. Those are people not of their country. Those are people that they disowned, that they didn't see as part of their people. But yet they were to take the gospel there. So as we think about that, we think about going to strangers and foreigners and weirdos. We would go to Ohio, right? But we would also go to other parts of, other countries that are neighboring us, Canada, okay, Mexico. We would go to those places. That would be the next area that we would go to. And then it says, to the end of the earth, or to the uttermost parts of the world. So once we're there, once we've been to Canada, once we've been to Mexico, then we go to the uttermost parts of the world. So we start locally, and we move out from there. And that's the program. That was how this program was to unfold. And that was how it was to lay out. And as I shared last week, as we move through the book of Acts, we're going to see it unfold in this way. That's how it's going to unfold the same way. Questions or thoughts about that?
Can you think about today? And you start with your family. And then you move out. And then you go to your workplace.
Right.
And then you become... contribute to missionaries.
Right.
So you're expanding it.
Yeah.
And from one to one, and you don't know what they'll do, how they'll expand, but then continue.
Yeah, exactly.
The work of the Lord.
Exactly. Now, how do we carry this out? How do we carry this out? Can we do this by ourselves? We need each other, right? We need each other. As we think about this, we have a little dynamic of the world, a little section of the world that we can impact, okay?
Okay.
But then we have to trust somebody else to impact their area, their community, okay? And then as we think about going to other countries, maybe that's something in it for us. Maybe that's something in it for somebody else, but we can be a part of that work, by praying for them, sending them funds, helping them to do that. We can help them. And together, that seems to be our mindset, is reaching the innermost parts of the world. Doing what we can to reach out and share the gospel to the ends of the earth. Okay? Now let's look at Acts 1 here, in verse 9. It says, "And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So what takes place right here in verse 9? What is this happening? This is the ascension. This is when Christ returns to heaven. Okay? This is when he goes back up and seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And so that's what takes place. When I read scripture, I often put myself in this place. That helps me think through things. Can you imagine that? You're watching Jesus ascend into heaven, okay? Excited about the kingdom, he gives you your assignment, and then he just ascends into heaven. So you're standing there watching him, and that'd be a pretty spectacular thing, wouldn't it? I mean, just see him levitate and just go up. I mean, that would be pretty mind-boggling. I mean, think about that. They didn't have hot air balloons. They didn't have Facebook to see where people were traveling all over the world. So they're here just looking at it. And then all of a sudden, these two men appear, and these two men come beside them. Who are these two men, by the way? Okay, Moses and Elijah. Okay. I think about this and look at this, I wonder if it's the two angels that appear at the tomb. Yeah, I wonder if it's those two guys gone. You guys. Why did Jesus entrust this to you? I read somewhere when Jesus ascended into heaven, he got into heaven and all of the angels were gathered there and they were looking down at these 12 that were there. And the 12 said, or the angels looked at Jesus and they said, "What's next?" And Jesus said, "This is it. This is next." And one of the angels looked at Jesus and said, "What's plan B?" As we look at the book of Acts unfold, we do the same thing with them sometimes. What do you guys think? What's plan B? But there is no plan B. This is the program. This is what's laid out here. This is the program. This is what's taking place. And so they say, "Hey guys, just as he left, he's going to come in the same way." Now, that's the promise that's here, right? The promise is that he's going to return in the same way. You think about the rapture taking place. We're going to meet him in the clouds, okay? It's going to happen in the same way. And so there's a hope here for them, isn't there? There's a promise. When is it going to happen? Not up for us to decide. Not up for us to know. God is the one that's in authority. God has determined it when it's going to happen. And it's going to happen. Whenever I hear someone say a date, I say, "Don't! Not going to happen that day." He's determined when it's going to happen. And we have the program for us. So, as we think about this, what should be our motivating factor? What should motivate us? Okay, keep telling them about him. Okay. What should be our motivation for doing that? We don't know when it's going to happen. What would happen if Jesus said it's going to be December 1st, 2023? Yes, we would. On November 30th, we'd go crazy, right? Because we know that's the day, right? I mean, not all of us would procrastinate, but some of us would. I love filing my taxes on April 5th, 14th. I love doing that, and I really like it. That's moving to the 17th, but that gives me two more days. I don't have to think about doing it on Steve's birthday. It's up there with Steve's birthday, and I'm in pain. But we have a tendency to do that. I have a tendency to do that. Wait till the last. Wait till the last. Why do it today when you can do it tomorrow? That's kind of my motto. So what will we do? We knew we wouldn't worry about it, would we? But we don't. Today could be today. Today could be today. And we know that he's coming again, and that's the promise, is that he is coming again. So,
we'll work till Jesus comes.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's what we see here, is the instruction for us is to work until Jesus comes. That's the instruction. He's given us the program to follow. And as long as we follow the program, things will work. What do take home from this?
We are to trust him, we are to believe what he says is true, and we are to be busy at work.
Okay. Okay, I thought you were going to say another hymn, Trust and Obey.
Trust and Obey.
Yeah, it's going to break out the song. But that's exactly right. We have to trust the plan, we have to trust the program. He's the designer, right? He's the one in full authority. So he is the one who's designed this. And so as we think about that, that's what we need to do is buy into the program. Buy into the program.
And you have to think about it. Your mindset should be set that it is a privilege.
Yeah.
It is an honor.
Right.
To serve.
Exactly.
And be ambassadors.
It is a privilege because not everybody has that privilege,
no.
Right?
No.
Right. Power of the Holy Spirit is still on.
Yes. Yeah. Thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit being given then. Thankful that the power of the Holy Spirit is still available today. Because we do still need it. We do still need it. And it's so great that he works behind the scenes, like we saw in John 14 and John 16. He's the one who convicts of sin. He's the one who pricks the hearts and pierces the minds. He does that. I mean, all we have to do is just share, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. Yeah, him.
And he gets the glory.
Yeah.
Because
right.
He is the one doing that work. We're
exactly.
Just messengers. That's all we have.
He gets the glory. He gets the glory.
I was thinking today, travel is so easy, you know. We travel all the concept bus and they go on through all the world. You know. But I mean to say well all the world is a very, very tough thing to think about.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Travel wasn't as easy then. Yeah. Exactly. A lot riskier. Yeah. A lot more faith. All right, well, let's close with a word of prayer, shall we?